The sermon you are about to hear was recorded at Grace Baptist Church, Cape Coral, Florida. For additional sermons and more information, visit our website at truegraceofgod.org.
I'll ask you who want to follow along in Scripture to open to Matthew, first book of the New Testament, Matthew chapter 8. And there we read about an encounter that our Lord Jesus Christ had with one man. Matthew chapter 8. When Jesus had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, "I am willing, be cleansed." Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, "See that you tell no one, but go your way and show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them." And now the encounter I have wanting us to look into. Now when Jesus entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, "Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented." And Jesus said to him, "I will come and heal him." The centurion answered and said, "Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it." And when Jesus heard it, he marveled. And he said to those who followed, "Assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Then Jesus said to the centurion, "Go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done unto you." And his servant was healed that same hour. Our Lord Jesus Christ spent most of his life in Galilee, the northern part of Israel. And on the Jewish feasts, he would go to Jerusalem and worship at the temple and have interaction with the leaders of the Jews. And when the leaders of the Jews would speak with him and speak to those around him, they said, for instance, in John 7:52, "Search and look, for no prophet is to rise out of Galilee." In other words, how can you look at Jesus as a prophet from God, even though he claims to be doing miracles? There's nothing in the Scripture about a prophet coming from Galilee. The leaders of the Jews were seriously wrong, as we heard in the Scripture reading from Isaiah. And the prophet saying that when Christ came, he would live in the region of Galilee. And God ordained that this should be so because God had compassion on the region of Galilee. For 750 years, Galilee was occupied by one foreign army after another. Every time there was an invasion of the Jewish nation, it came through Galilee when the troops were at the peak of their readiness to fight. They attacked Galilee, and then they moved further south into other parts of the Jewish nation. But they always left troops to occupy and control Galilee, which was the entrance to the nation. They were assaulted by Assyria. After that, Babylon. After that, Persia. After that, Greece. After that, Rome. All of these nations flooded into the Jewish nation and came through Galilee. And it was a 750-year period of darkness, living under occupation of foreign armies. So that life in Galilee was not normal, even in the rest of the Jewish nation. I think we can pick up Jesus' recognition of that when he taught on the Sermon on the Mount. And he said, if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other. And he said, if someone wants to take your cloak, let him have one of your other garments as well. And if someone compels you to carry something for a mile, go with him 2 miles. Jesus grew up under these occupations, or at least under the occupation of the Roman Empire. And perhaps he faced things like that as a teenager growing up, to walk down the village street of Nazareth and to come across some soldier that compelled him to carry a heavy weight some distance, and there was no justice to deliver them from these kind of treatments. And Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, advises his people how to handle these situations. But now Jesus returns to Capernaum, the city from which his public ministry was conducted. Capernaum is a beautiful spot on the northwest of the Lake of Galilee. Sometimes in Christian literature you read the Sea of Galilee. It's not a sea. It's not a salt sea. It's a freshwater lake with waters coming from Mount Hermon past the town of Dan and beginning the Lake of Galilee. At the bottom of the Lake of Galilee, those fresh waters become the headwaters of the Jordan River that then move down to the Dead Sea, and it is a salt sea there. The lowest depression on the face of the earth, the Dead Sea. But the Lake of Galilee and the region of Galilee is a beautiful area, but sorely oppressed by the foreign armies who came. And Jesus conducted his ministry, public ministry, from this city because he was not welcome in his hometown. He preached to them once in the synagogue about his being the one foretold of the prophets, and they sought to throw him over a cliff and destroy him. He was not welcome in his hometown. And so, as he came into the place where he was living in Capernaum, he met a centurion. A centurion of the Roman army was a non-commissioned officer who controlled or directed 100 battle-hardened soldiers. And part of the reason that Rome conquered the ancient world is that they had learned not to move their troops in a phalanx, but to have great mobility with different commanders controlling 100 troops that could be moved where they were most needed in battle. And as a matter of fact, I learned not too many years ago that some of the officers of our army still read the tactics of the infantry from Roman books. So here was a centurion, a commander, and he was left near Capernaum because it was an important town, and he was meant to control it on behalf of Rome and to see that there were no insurrections and no problems. Therefore, if crowds were to gather, it was his business to know what was happening in that crowd. And there were constantly crowds around the Lord Jesus Christ, coming from every part of the ancient world. From outside of Israel, people had heard of this great prophet who healed people by speaking a word. So the crowds would gather, and I'm sure that this centurion at first sent some of his troops to mix with the crowd and bring a report back. What is this all about, these crowds gathering in our region? Are they a threat to Rome and to the puppet government that we have set up here? And I'm sure that he received word as to what was happening, of the miraculous work of Christ who could heal with a command, of Christ who could cast out evil spirits with a command, of Christ putting his hand on a person, or a person touching Christ and they're being healed. And yet there was no insurrection in his teaching, no attempt to getting the people to rise up against Rome. I would think that this commander, hearing such amazing things that he had never seen in Rome or heard of in any other place of the world, would have himself stood at the back of crowds to hear the Lord Jesus on some occasion or another. Well, now as Jesus is returning from preaching his Sermon on the Mount, this centurion came to Jesus and started pleading with him. He had a request to make of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, Lord, Jesus is Lord. And he recognized it. He said, Lord, approaching as if to bow his spirit before him, perhaps bowing before him, perhaps going down on a knee to plead with him for help. Lord, our translation says, my servant, but in fact he says, my boy. He had a slave boy who attended him. And he said, this slave boy is lying at home, paralyzed and dreadfully tormented with pain. Now, normally, paralysis is not painful. It is debilitating, but it is not painful unless it is tetanus, in which there are, in the muscles where tetanus settles, the compression of the muscles to bring pain. Perhaps that is what the lad had. And I'm sure that as a centurion, he went to the medical officer of his 100 men who could do nothing for him. And he felt responsible. What can I do for my servant? And it came to his mind that he was hearing these reports of Jesus Christ doing miracles and healing all kinds of diseases and even casting out demons by the word of his power. And he came to the Lord Jesus and said, Lord, I have this problem. I have a need. And having just mentioned what the need was, it was obvious to Jesus that he was going to appeal to him to heal the man. And Jesus made an instantaneous decision in verse 7. I will come and heal him. I will come with you. Show me the way. And I will heal him. But the centurion had an objection to that plan of approach. And it's very interesting to see what his objection was. He said, I am not worthy to have you in my house. Now that's an interesting statement. Conquering armies don't live in hovels. I don't know if you were watching television at the time of the Gulf War and pictures would come on after the conquering of Babylon. And you see army officers sleeping in the palaces of the former king of Babylon. And I'm sure this man had a quite nice home, and Jesus was living in a fisherman's small home. Jesus didn't even own a home. And yet, this officer said, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof. Those who come to faith in Jesus Christ are humbled in his presence and humbled by the greatness of his person. Even though there is no pretense in the Lord Jesus Christ which would seek that on his part. But constantly we read of those who were converted coming to this thought that they are not worthy. Some this week have been talking about the prodigal son, and I think of him when he had wildly spent all of the things that his father had given him in foolishness and revelry. And he had nothing to eat and was so hungry that he wanted to eat the food that was being given to pigs. And then he thought, I shouldn't stay here. All the servants in my father's household have plenty and to spare. So he started formulating, what will I say if I go back to my father? And he said, the first thing I have to say is, Father, I am no longer worthy to be called your son. I am not worthy. When the Lord Jesus Christ, or when God in heaven brings you to the place that you've seen your own sin and you feel unworthy to draw near to him, unworthy to be called his son, unworthy to live in his house forever, that's the beginning of the work of God. That's an element of faith all by itself. There are others who came to Christ and talked of their unworthiness. Man being humbled is an element of faith. But this is an amazing scene. It's startling that the conqueror of all the Jews will bow and say, Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof. And then the other part of this faith is this. But only speak a word and my servant will be healed. Your word, Jesus, is enough. Multitudes are crying out and saying, Jesus' word is not enough for us. We need a show. We need excitement. We need thrills. This man said, just say a word. That's what I need, a word from you. And my servant will be well. Do you believe that Jesus sitting at the right hand of God the Father Almighty could solve the deepest problem of your heart and your life with a word? Do you believe that searching His word can be the means of eternal life and blessing for you, for your family? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. This man had heard of Jesus. His words had been brought back to him by those who represented him, other soldiers, and probably he himself had listened to some of the teaching of Jesus, and he was humbled, and his swagger was gone, and there was shame before him, humility, and confidence in his word. And perhaps part of the reason is that he was a military man, and he says that. He said, I understand authority. When I say to some soldier, go, he goes. He would not be in my troops if he didn't answer immediately when I said, do this and do it now. He does it, and he does it now. And if I say, come here, he comes here. And if I give a command to my servant, he's going to do what I say. That's the authority that I have over them. And Jesus, I've never seen anything like your authority. It's mystical to me that you can speak to spirits and they obey you. And I know that if you say a word, the illness that my boy has will run from you. He will go. Well, it's in that humility, the ingredient of faith, and the confidence in Jesus' word. Confidence in the authority of Jesus Christ. All power is given to me in heaven and on earth, said the Lord Jesus. And he said to his disciples that they should go into all the world and preach the gospel. It's interesting that in verse 11, well, we ought to start before that at verse 10. When Jesus heard this, he marveled. He saw this man believe in this way, and Jesus marveled at him. He said, I never saw anybody with this depth of faith in all of Israel. This man is a Gentile. He's not of our religion. He hasn't been taught the prophets. He doesn't have all of the Bible to read. And he has this awareness of who I am, this confidence in me. Jesus marveled at him. There's only one other place in the Bible that Jesus marveled at men, and that was in Nazareth, because they didn't believe. He marveled at their unbelief. But with this man, he marveled at his faith. Now, I could say, I marveled at some of the people who believed. They were people I never thought would turn to Christ. And that's a great witness to the power of Christ in bringing them to Himself. And the Lord Jesus Christ marveled at this man. And then in verse 11, Jesus said, "And I say to you that many will come from the east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven." Because he was a Gentile, believing in Christ, like the Jews did not believe in Christ, Jesus saw this as his Father's gift to him, a token of what was about to happen through all the world. Your church is praying for mission works. Your church is involved in mission works in Haiti and giving and sending out missionaries. And our Lord Jesus Christ is confident that many will come from the east and the west and sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of God. And with Abraham. But the sons of the kingdom were cast out into outer darkness when the Jews did not believe on him. And they have suffered long years, although in our day we are seeing Jews also converted in large numbers who believe that Jesus is the Messiah. And Israel itself has in recent years, I mean, after the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, the Roman army destroyed Israel, and it was scattered through all the world. And it was not until the Second World War that they came back to the land that had been promised to them. And now, there are Reformed churches of believing Jews in Israel. And the gospel is being spread, as it always is spread, with those who go and put the gospel into their language and then gather churches together. And when there are churches, they build a school that trains ministers of the gospel, and that's the level that Israel's at today. But for a long time, they had been in darkness. Our Lord Jesus Christ was thrilled with this, and He's thrilled with every conversion. And I'm sure that He marvels at the true faith in every heart, because it is the work of the Father in response to His death on the cross, in response to their agreement from all eternity that the Father would build His church, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that the gates of hell would not prevail against it. There was humility, there was faith, and the young man who had been so sick, the centurion's servant, was healed in that very hour when Jesus said the word. The centurion was right. Jesus said, "May it be unto you according to your faith." My faith is that when Jesus speaks, it's going to happen. And it happened when Jesus spoke. And it is possible today with Jesus reigning on high, that whatever your heartache for a family member, for yourself, if you go to Him, recognizing you are not worthy to be in His presence, you are not worthy to receive anything from Him, but that He is so competent, so mighty, so efficient, that a word from Him will make the difference, will change a life, will change my inner being. If I'm in the grip of sin, Lord Jesus, if You would say a word, sin will let me go and the devil will flee from me. I don't know if you've ever felt the desperation. You know, there's one stage of life in which people say, well, I have these sins. But there's another stage of life where people have to say, these sins have me. And I am their servant. And I don't know how to get out of the trap. But if He speaks a word, that'll be changed. And you're not worthy to have Him do so. But you need to call upon Him. And He is thrilled to see that people will come from the East and the West and even from America to Him and call upon Him. Ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened unto you. But speak to the Lord Jesus and begin with saying, Lord. He is Lord over heaven and earth. And He is Lord over the church. And He is Lord over saving grace. And He is Lord over the creation and sustenance of a new life. So I hope if you have not called upon Him, that you will begin to do so. And recognize you're not worthy. It's not because you have earned any status or done anything for Him that He will answer. But He will answer if you, in your heart, believe that you are not worthy and believe that a word from Him will change everything. Until the day that He answers that, keep reading His Word. That's where faith comes from, hearing the Word of God. Keep coming to a church where the Word of God is taught. There's so many different churches. They have so many different ways of approaching worship. They have so many different organizational things that you may not understand. But go to a church where they're trying to open the Bible and teach you what it says, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And you should go to church praying, oh Lord, just speak a word to me. Change my life and change my habits and change my destiny. Just a word from you. May God bless you. May He bring you this grace as He did to a centurion. And what kindness from Jesus to not hesitate for a moment when He and His people had been under oppression for 750 years. They didn't know what it was to be free. And you know, there are people who don't know what it is to be free from sin. They need to call upon Him for grace. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we want to pray for everyone who is here and has not yet called upon Your name. May they remember how our Lord Jesus responded to a foreigner, an oppressor, a conqueror, with such compassion and kindness, and marveled at Him and delighted in Him. May they call upon You to speak a word on their behalf. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.